Americans and you're alive. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Hello, dear friends, this is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. Here is my first number for today. Thine is my heart alone.
Thine is my heart alone, and without you, life holds no charm. Song half so sweet to me as your voice whispering, I love you, whispering, I love you
alone. In the picture Sweet Rosie O'Grady, there's a popular ballad that caught on in a hurry. Victor Young has made a delightful arrangement of it. How about it, Vic?
That was My Heart Tells Me. And something tells me it was all right, Vic. Now I'd like to sing an old, old favorite. Sing Me to Sleep.
The shadows fall. Let me forget the world and all. Tired is my heart, the day is long. Would it were come to evensong. Sing me to sleep, your hand in mine, our fingers as in prayer entwine. Only your voice, love, let me hear, singing to tell me you are near. Love, I am lonely, years are so long. I want you only, you and your song. Dark is life, sure love, night is so deep. Leave me no more, love. Sing me to sleep, love, you alone seem to be left me for mine own. Happily my heart will know no pain when I awake from sleep again. Sing me to sleep and let me rest. Of all the world I love you best. Nothing is faithful, nothing true in a heaven or earth but God and your love. I am lonely, years are so long. I want you, only you and your song. Dark is life, sure love, night is so deep. Leave me no more, love. Sing me to today, Ken Darby has taken
Do you ken John Peel and combined it with Ah, Wert Thou in the Cowed Blast? Here's the successful result of it.
Do you ken John Peel with his coat so gay? Do you ken John Peel at the break of the day? Do you ken John Peel when he's far, far away? With his hounds and his horn in the morning, for the sound of his horn brought me from my bed, and the cry of his hounds, which he oft times led, he'll still halloo. From his lair in the morning. Yes, I ken John Peel and Ruby too. Tranter and Ringwood, bellman and true. From a fine to a check, from a check to a view, from a view to a death in the
This is John Charles Thomas. And this is the time also that brings my friend John Booth Nesbitt to our microphone with another of his extraordinary true tales. John Nesbitt.
At 9:30 at night, 10 years ago, an elderly man whose name was Arnold Sidler was seated in the old-fashioned parlor of his house, listening to his wife read aloud. Sidler was a successful businessman. He went to a prosperous office every weekday morning. He kept up on the news of the world. He enjoyed life pretty completely. But he did not read to himself in the evenings at home. Although a college graduate, he could not read. He was blind. He had been totally blind for 32 years. On that particular night, as his wife read quietly to him in her comfortable voice, she heard his chair squeak and looked up from her book to see her husband sitting bolt upright in his chair clutching the arms convulsively and glaring at her with the muscles of his jaw knotted. Suddenly, Arnold Sidner reported, he had become aware that a kind of gray curtain seemed to be rising up before him, and his startled wife heard him speak. "Emma, something has happened." There was a long silence, and his wife's frightened voice came back to him. "What is it, Arnold?" "Emma, I think I can see." Then, through the gray mists that were mysteriously rising from before him, Arnold Sidler, tense and white as a ghost in his chair, saw something. He saw a complete stranger rise up from a chair nearby and come toward him. She was a large, gray-haired, motherly woman whom he had never seen before. This was his wife. 3 decades before, he had married a slender, rosy-cheeked, brown-haired little Gibson girl. This was what she'd become during 30 years of his darkness. And now Emma stood before him, trembling and reaching out her hands as if to touch his face. "What do you see, Arnold?" And he replied, quietly enough, "I can make out a davenport over there, a sort of whatnot thing in the corner, and a picture on the wall with some ships in it, and beautiful electric lights glowing everywhere." And then Emma staggered and Sidler caught her in his arms, and when he kissed her, he knew at once that this woman was his beloved wife. The boys from the newspapers went out to interview Sidler a week or two later, and he gave them quite a story. In order to find his way to the office at first, he'd had to close his eyes. He became a movie fan overnight. And he said that he found a much neater and cleaner world than the one he'd known before in his blindness. And when he looked up and saw the stars and the sky at night for the first time in 30 years, he actually burst out sobbing and he shouted, "Oh, Lord, how noble and how mighty are all thy works." After some months, he became less emotional about his sight, of course. And Emma would see him blush when she introduced him to a woman friend. She asked him why, and he chuckled and said, "Well, it sort of scares me, because you women don't exactly look as if you were all dressed. Women don't look nice and round and solid like they did back in 1910. They look like you did, Emma, when you were dressing and had your petticoats on, but not your dress." Sidler's quite an elderly man now, and recently some cynical fellow said to him, "Say, wouldn't you almost rather still be blind now in this war than to have to see the newspapers and the newsreels that show you what an awful mess the world has become?" And Sidler said, "Oh, no, for just to be alive and to see is enough." Yes, good eyesight is one of the greatest gifts to man. And when you think of it, one can very well understand Arnold Sidler miraculously regaining his sight after 30 years of darkness, standing out in those fields at night with the tears streaming down his face and watching the incredible blazing river of other worlds that we call the Milky Way and shouting at the top of his voice, "Lord, Lord, how noble and how mighty are all thy works."
Thank you, John Nesbitt. One of America's all-time favorite songs is "A Dream," the one written by Bartlett. Here it is.
"Last night I was dreaming of thee, love, was dreaming. I dreamed thou didst promise we never should part. While thy loved voice addressed me and soft hands caressed me, I kissed thee and pressed thee once more to my heart. I kissed thee and pressed thee
soft perfume tresses and gentle caresses thrilled me and asleep and lulled me to rest, thrilled me and stilled me and lulled me to rest.
Now Victor Young is going to play his arrangement of George Gershwin's Swanee. Our most beautiful songs, I think, is the Stanton Campbell Tipton Spirit Flower. I'd like to sing it for you with.
My heart was frozen, even as the earth that covered thee forever from my sight. All thoughts of happiness expired at birth. Within me naught but black and sunshine, snowflakes came, all shimmering like two silver butterflies.
They seem to
Well, dear friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye and God bless.
This is Gene Whitman speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.